This is Rilo's Quack Chat. As a call maker, I enjoy talking shop with other duck call makers. On this podcast, it's all about duck calls and duck hunting. From the marsh to the duck call shop, we're going to find the story behind the duck calls and the people that make them. This is Rilo's Quack Chat. Hey everybody, how's it going? This is Riley Hendrickson with Rilo's Quack Chat, talking about duck calls, duck hunting, the story behind the duck calls, and all that good stuff. So just letting everyone know what's been going on. So I've been having some technical difficulties with my equipment. Still having issues with that stuff. The new equipment, I'm just trying to learn how to deal with some of these. It's good. But I have hearing issues, so I'm trying to figure out how to use the new equipment, with my hearing issues. And just trying to figure that out. And also, while I was interviewing Greg Holmes, it kept cutting. It would just stop. Out of the blue, it would just stop. So I had to deal with that. So, if you already saw, there is a part one. If you haven't watched that yet, go check that out. That's with Greg Holmes. And then this is part two, and I am going to be putting, some of the episodes together and kind of doctoring them. Well, the parts that were broken up, I'm going to doctor them and put them together, and here's part two. So the interview with Greg was awesome. He was a great guest. I'm sorry that that happened, Greg, if you're listening. I think I am figuring some things out, so I'm going to be trying to get some new guests on, and trying to get moving forward with the podcast. So, if anyone is interested in that, let me know. I do have some possible guests that I've talked to that should be coming on in the future. And so I will be doing that. So also, people were getting confused on how to get calls off of my website to support, the podcast. So, I will be putting a call up on eBay once in a while just to support the podcast. So, if you, all you have to do is type in Rilo, R-Y-L-O-H, duck call, and it should pop up what I have on there, at the moment, and I will put something up different every week, and that will be kind of to support the podcast. So, everyone, hope everyone's doing good. This is kind of the off season of duck call for duck calls right now, so it should be really easy to get some guests. So I'm going to be doing that soon. So everybody, this is part two of Greg Holmes. All right, so we are back. We we were having some technical difficulties with this new recording setup. Man, it's just it has a couple issues here and there, but Greg, we were talking about the coal maker shootout. Hopefully we got that recorded, and your involvement in that and some of those cool things. I mean, so you don't think you could turn a call in an hour?
Not make it sound good. I don't know. I might try one of these days. I got to finish up the call I'm working on, and then, I'll time myself just for fun, but nah. Not in compete, I'll say that for sure. You know, with people putting multiple inlays in and doing all that, I could maybe turn something that looked like a stick that made a little bit of noise when you blew on it, but I'll try and let you know.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch. There were people that were actually, you know, there were people betting on some of those bouts.
I believe it.
It was hilarious. And man, it's, It was funny to watch some of these guys like betting on some of these, and then I got to see Waylon's tattoo at Real Foot.
Yeah.
So
about that.
It was awesome. It was awesome. But you know, another option is, and I'm just thinking out loud here, is possibly to do a Callmaker shootout group and actually just literally build it, like, instead of a month-long thing, actually, like, do about here and there, and then just build it that way, you know?
Yeah.
That's another option, so. I don't know. We'll see what happens in the future.
Be easier on you.
Yeah. Yes, it would. But, yeah, Greg, so, I mean, what's your call business name? Do you have a name?
HGH Calls.
HGH Calls. You get a star for not using game calls.
Yeah. My kids' initials.
See, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So, and then I got a boy right now, and I got a daughter due on 17th of March, and so my wife was like, "Well, you already named it your call company, you know, and how's she gonna feel when our son has the call company named after her?" So we made her initials HGH2.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's awesome. That's awesome. So this is going to be your second kid?
Yep, second kid.
Oh, man.
I got an 18-month-old boy right now.
Oh, man. That's about how... Yeah, that's the age my kids are around that. Actually, my kids are 2 years apart and a day. So, one was born on February 26th, one was born on February 27th. So...
That's cool.
Yeah, so, they are literally almost 2 years apart, and man, buckle up, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I'm already...
Get ready. Especially... Oh, my gosh. I mean, boys seem like they're so easygoing for the most part, and then, man, that girl, whoo, they have little tempers.
Oh, yeah, my son's pretty particular, and pretty much everything but food.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's not a picky eater, and he's a big eater.
Does he like duck and stuff?
Loves it.
Really?
That guy, I mean, it's September, so that was 4 months ago. He was like 14 months. He ate 9 dubs in one sitting.
Holy moly.
Yeah, but we pretty much only feed him meat and vegetables and fruit, so he doesn't have any of that anything other than that. But in the majority of it's all wild game.
Good for you. That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, that is awesome. Here's another thing that people don't think about. Man, people cook duck and goose so differently depending on where you are at in the country. I mean, how do you, are you one of these crock potter guys? Do you cook it on the grill? Like, what's your go-to?
It depends. I get a lot of mine made into sausage. I get a lot of bulk sausage made, like bulk Italian. I get some link sausage. I get some summer sausage and snack sticks and things like that. And then for my, I mean, the majority of the birds I'm shooting are sprig, widgeon, teal, mallards, and, you know, specks and snow geese and honkers and birds like that. But I mean, if I'm going to keep something, I'm going to go skin on, pan fried, and just kind of baste it in, or I'll smoke a whole bird. But I'm doing a lot of skin on, pan fried.
Nice.
Probably my go-to.
Nice. What kind of goose call do you use? What brand?
For what?
Honker.
Right now, I have two because I leave one of my lanyards at my duck club, and then I have one in case I hunt like public land around my house. And I have a Hayden, which I love, and then a Grounds.
Real? So you like the Hayden more than the Grounds?
I do because I like supporting small shops. I think it sounds good. I'm by no means a good honker caller. I'm sure both calls are far above my ability. So, but I'd rather have a small shop on my lanyard.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. It, I mean, because when you're a small shop, you know what goes into it, right?
Yep.
So, and I mean, the longer you turn calls, the more you're going to realize, I mean, you have your own little habits, you make your own little tools, you have your own little way of doing things, and that's why small shop is so unique. I mean, you can put, look how many calls are going to be at the NWF, in NWTF. And some may even look similar, but they all sound different.
Yep.
So, who would have thought that... Go ahead.
I was just... I mean, that's what... I have a pretty extensive call collection, and to look at all the... You know, I sold... If I could sell it, if it was sellable, I've pretty much sold everything that isn't a small shop call.
Really?
That I had before, yeah. And now I have pretty much extensively small shops that, or calls that no one wants to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, what was I going to say? You know, that's the thing, like, whenever I talk to people that have small shop collections, I always ask them this question. I always ask it the wrong way. And I never do it when recording because I did one time and someone didn't like that I asked it that way. What are your personal... So I'm going to change it. I'm going to ask you this. Out of your collection of calls that you have gotten from people, what are the calls that you personally fit your air presentation, fit your style? Because there's calls in my collection that I love. They sound great. They're amazing calls. But there are some that actually fit my presentation or kind of remind me of my calling style or the way I make calls. So I may kind of pick them up once in a while and kind of enjoy those because it's, I don't know, they just kind of stand out to me. So are there any calls that do that to you?
Yes. So I have a Mingo that is taller than the rest of them, and that is probably one of my favorite calls. Just the way it fits me, and I haven't seen any other like it. I guarantee there are other like it because it's not, you know, one of one, but it's a little bit bigger than all the other calls that he made. And I have like five or six of Mingos, and it's different than the rest of them, and it fits.
Did he every get out of... Go ahead.
Yeah, every time I can, I try to harass him about getting back into call making.
I was about to ask you, didn't he get out of it?
He did.
You don't really get out when you are a call maker. You never stop. I mean, you take breaks. I mean, I've heard so many stories of call makers that sold everything and then... eventually got the itch again, and then
he would be the one that I think fits me the best, and then second it's going to be Ken Eason's.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and have to close this podcast out, but Greg, man, I have a question for you real quick. What I haven't had many people on here that have been part of duck clubs. What's being a member of a duck club like?
I got very fortunate to get into the club that that I'm in now. You know, a lot of people in California, they join a club and it's a rice blind, and they may park their trailer in a trailer yard, and call that a club. The club that I joined, we have a maximum of 10 members. We have a clubhouse. Every member has their own cabin. We have a rotational blind system, and we all boat into each of the blinds. And, we do big family style dinners on Saturdays, and breakfast on Saturday and breakfast on Sunday. You know, generally happens around 10:30, 11 after a morning hunt. And excuse me. It's awesome. I grew up, hunting refuges and chasing birds all across the state. And, after I had my son, you know, I wanted a place that I could bring my family and raise my kids, out in kind of the lifestyle that means so much to me. And, having this club in particular with the people that we have, and the amenities that we have, and, the way we're catering to kids, and, it's really, really cool. We have the club's full of history. It's been around since, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's 1893. So it's been, 100 years of being an established club, and it's a really cool experience and cool to be a part of something like that.
Cool. I mean, is it worth it? Is it totally worth it being part of a club?
So having been part of three other clubs, I would say if you find the right one, yes. Okay. This one, yes. This one, it was an off season for all of us. I had buddies that hunted public land that shot more birds, but I think we ended the season as a club. We've had some difficulties, with levies and things like that, over the last year, but we're all putting in some time and making it a place that shoots birds, and we can all go. And man, being able to shower, have a hot shower and a home cooked meal versus like sleeping in my car for 2 days and eating trash, it's worth it.
Oh, I bet. That's awesome. That's awesome. So real quick, Greg, if anyone wants to get a call off of you, how can they do that?
Or PM me, Greg Holmes, on Facebook.
Cool. All right. Well, Greg, thank you so much. We are going to end with the last three questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. If you could go back in time and go to a hunt and live it all over again, what would it be?
It would be... I did a public land hunt with three very close friends. It was last year, and there were so many birds, so many pintail flying, because there were so many pintail diving into our decoys, and I wouldn't have been able to take a shot without shooting more than one of them. We all ended. We cherry picked birds all day long, and it was one of the most memorable hunts I've ever had.
That is cool. All right, second question: if you could hunt in a blind with three other people, living, deceased, past, present, call makers, famous duck hunters, who would be?
It's a tough one. I would say my grandpa. I would say J.J. Lairs, Joe Lairs, and call it Phil. Yeah, my grandpa, Joe Lairs, and Phil Robertson.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that would be awesome. And if you could stand over the shoulder of any call maker of all time, who would it be, and watch him make a call?
I will say, I'll say Samples.
Yep, might as well put another mark on the wall. That guy.
He's been super cool whenever I have questions, doing his best to him. Been super cool with helping me out as a new call maker. Really, and anyone that you reach out to in the community does as much as they can to help you, which is cool.
Yeah, it's a great community, man. It's a great community. Well, Greg, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
Well, if you don't mind, just stay on, and I'll end it real quick. All right. So, everybody, that was Greg Holmes. If you get a chance, look him up on Facebook, see some pictures of his awesome calls.